Well, how is everybody this morning? Great so far, right? Excellent. I had to think back as to when the last time that I spoke, and so I don't want to have anybody have any fear. You see, the last time I spoke was during the transition when we had Wayne right here, and we were transitioning into having Alan come as our pastor. So I preached on the New Year's, I think the last Sunday of December. The time before that I spoke was when we were in transition, where Trevor had left and I was preaching, and then we had Wayne come on. There is no transition going on. I just want to let you know that. We're good. We're enjoying Alan's work here, so you don't need to be worried about anything. It's an opportunity, a great opportunity for me. Don't really get too many chances of opportunity of bringing your word, and so it's always a nerve-wracking thing when you haven't gone to Bible school and you've never really been taught how to, you know, prepare messages and do messages. I kind of prepare them my own way, but during the week it can get a bit nerve-wracking, but I just look forward to just bringing you your word, God's word, this morning, and having communion. And it's funny, when we have communion, it's a time for us to reflect on God's gift to us, isn't it? We love the fact that Jesus Christ came down and did a sacrifice for us so we can get to heaven. I mean, to think of it, if we were in the Old Testament times, we would be having to do sacrifices after sacrifices. This church would look a lot different. There would literally be bloodstains around everywhere, and so I'm so glad that we don't have to do that anymore. But to think that Christ came down for us to sacrifice his life for us. And I think one of the issues that I have is being in the church a long time is I agree with that, and I love the fact that Christ died and I'm going to go to heaven. But then you live your life here kind of as it doesn't really, you never think about heaven anymore, do you? You never think that our life here on earth, the way God created it, is going to impact how we spend eternity and where we spend eternity. Now, I was supposed to bring a rope. It's been one of those crazy mornings trying to get four kids ready to come. Thank you, Alex, for letting me use his shoes. Forgot my shoes this morning. Forgot the rope, but I'll use this analogy here. Sorry, bear with me here for a second. Anybody know what this whole thing is? This? Yeah, Rudy, sorry. Yeah. I got an extension cord out here. All the way out there. What is this? This is life. Right? God created us to have life. Way to go, Jane. Way to go. And he created us from the beginning of time to not die, to have eternal life. Right? So Adam and Eve, when they were alive, if they didn't sin, right, the whole world, we would have just continued to live in eternity forever. But because of their sin, then God had to come out with a way to make sure that our life here on earth can go and have an eternal life. Our bodies will die, unfortunately, but our souls, our beings will continue to live. So from here all the way down to the end is our life. Here's the thing. This little part here, Rudy, I'm at the very beginning. I'm not even like a pinky. There's not even a pinky size thing here. That is our life on earth. Right? And all the rest here is eternity. And to think that this little itty-bitty part is what's going to affect where we spend eternity. Right, how we live this little part is going to affect our eternity. Now, some of us, you know, Cassidy, I think, is our newest member of the church. I think she's the youngest. I don't know if there's any other young baby. Her life is starting right here. Some of us, I won't mention any names, but some of us are getting pretty close to that line right here where the earthly body will be gone, but we'll be in glory forever. And when you think about this, of how small that is compared to all of this, It's amazing. So to think, you know, hey, I'm in high school right now, and I can't wait to then go to university, and then in university I'm going to go there, and then going to work for a little bit, and then maybe I'm going to retire. I mean, we got all these plans, yet in the whole scheme of things, it is nothing, right? We have this life to make an impact for eternity. Now, do you know how many days the average person lives? Jane? No? All right. The average person lives, I got to find it now. They live up to about 79 or 80 years. That's correct. And it's amazing to think of how many days we spend. We spend 20 some odd years sleeping. You know that? 20 some odd years sleeping. The funny part is, in total of our life, we only spend about 7 years working. If we add, you know, the 24 hours a day clock. So we spend a lot more time sleeping than we do working. In days, okay, we spend 673 days a year bathing. Now, for some of us, I won't mention names, like my oldest child, I think it's going to be up to 800 days that she bathes during the year. Yeah, boy, it's a long time. But just think of it, 600, in our lifetime, 600 days we bathe. We eat or prepare food or meals 1,600 days in our lifetime. We care for individuals 520 days. School up to the age of 15 is 5,420 days. Yeah, that's right. You guys got a long way to go. It doesn't leave that much in the end when you add it all up of how much time is left for us to do God's work. Right? And to think, so we have that little part that we can do something. And I think for us, especially those of us that know Christ, what ends up happening, at least I know for me, is that we become a Christian, and yeah, we think about heaven a bit, we think about eternity, but we don't think about heaven that much. I mean, I know I don't. I really try to think back as to when the last time I heard a message preached on heaven. And I really can't think back. I remember I was trying to talk to Trevor to find out, and he thinks maybe 3 to 4 times that he ever actually even preached on that. So in 20 years, 15, 20 years, maybe hardly ever preached a message on heaven. And the thing is, it's such a mystery, isn't it, to us? I mean, we know the Bible says that God is going and he's preparing a place for us. Right now, God is building the city of cities in heaven for us. And I can guarantee you one thing. When we all get to heaven, if Mike Holmes gets into heaven, he's not going to be going in and looking at a building and saying, you know what, God, that's a bit crooked there. All right, we're tearing it down. We're going to rebuild a new one. No, it's going to be a perfect place. And we're spending eternity there. Now, my mind is so small, I can't fathom eternity. Like, I sometimes a 20-hour to 25-hour car trip going to Disney with the kids in the car seems like an eternity. I'm sure, Elaine, your 18-hour flights going to Malaysia can sometimes seem like an eternity. Margie, you just came back from a long trip with Gary in the car, right? Yeah. That was nothing like an eternity, I know. But, you know, we tend to think, oh, this is so long. You're in school, it's so long. You know, I started working in 1987, and I'll never forget it. I got given a piece of paper at Sun Life of Canada. It says, Steve Minton, should you remain with Sun Life of Canada, you will retire in the year 2033. 2033! It's 1987! That was like, oh my goodness, I got to work for so long. Well, I'm getting up there, though. I'm turning 46 this year, and my retirement's getting closer and closer. But, you know, so you have to think, okay, if heaven is that important, is it mentioned that much in the Bible? Because here's the thing. in reading, I think things that are important to God, things that He wants to be important to us, are mentioned in the Word. Things like joy, peace, patience, kindness, all of those things, love, those are all mentioned in the Gospel. Anybody just give a guess on how many times joy is mentioned in the Bible? Just to give you a 334 times. 334. Peace, right? We talk so much about peace. 362. Patience, over 200. Love, there you go. Love is mentioned 759 times in the Bible. Wisdom is mentioned 215. Grace, the grace that we have through Christ, is mentioned 127 times. Heaven, 912 times. It's mentioned over 150 times in the New Testament, whether it's heaven, heavenly, when they talk about heavenly things, 150 times in the Gospels alone, so the first four books of the New Testament. So when you think about that, Jesus' teaching, He taught about heaven, or it was mentioned over 150 times in the four Gospels. So it is something that's important to God, but I'm wondering, why is it not important to us? And I think for me, I think it's because I don't want to think about heaven that much. There are people here that I know that will say, oh, I can't wait to go to heaven, you know, I can't wait, you know, and I can understand that if you're sick, or if you're at the point where you've got some disease, and you're at the end of your life, and you just, Lord, I just want to get this pain away. But I'll be honest, I'm 46, I'm kind of enjoying life. I would like to stay here a bit longer. I want to be able to stay here. But I've met people who are like, you know, I just long for heaven so much. And it struck me about that. Well, why do they long for heaven? And I think it's because all of our fears, all of our the problems that we have on earth will be gone. And I know for me, I think about heaven as that place where, oh, there won't be any more grief. No more sorrow. We'll have joy for the rest of our lives. We'll get to meet people that we know here that have been family or dear friends that are in heaven now. We'll get to meet Ricky, right, who's in heaven just recently. But it's more than that. Do you know that as Christians, when we get to heaven, there's two judgments? So there's a judgment where is your name in the book of life. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you don't need to worry. When you get to heaven, that judgment you will pass. But there's a second judgment for those that are Christians. Listen to what it says in Matthew chapter 12, verse 36. It says, "And I tell you this, you must give an account on judgment day for every idle word you speak." Romans 14, if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14, verse 7. For we don't live for ourselves or die for ourselves. If we live, it's to honor the Lord. And if we die, it's to honor the Lord. So whatever we live or die, whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. Christ died and rose again for this very purpose, to be the Lord both of living and of the dead. So why do you condemn another believer? Why do you look down on another believer? Remember, we all stand before the judgment seat of God. For scriptures say, "As surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bend to me, and every tongue will confess and give practice to God." Yes, each of us will give a personal account to God. So let's stop condemning each other. Decide instead to live in a way that you will not cause another believer to stumble and fall. That kind of struck me, just to think that we will have to give in a personal account to God. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9 to 15, is one of the ones that is a famous one that where they've talked about heaven. It says this, "For we are both God's workers, and you are God's field, you are God's building. Because of God's grace to me, I have laid the foundation like an expert builder. Now others are building on it, but whoever is building on this foundation must be very careful. For no one can lay up any foundation other than we have already done through Christ Jesus. Anyone who builds on that foundation may use a variety of materials, gold, silver, jewelry, wood, hay, or straw. But on the judgment day, fire will reveal what kind of work each builder has done. The fire will show us if a person's work had any value. If the work survives, that builder will receive a great reward. But if the work is burned up, the builder will receive great loss. The builder will be saved, but like someone barely escaping through a wall of flames." That's kind of hard to hear, right? We get so lackadaisical here on earth sometimes, thinking of eternity. We focus on what we want to do here. I can't wait. I want to go to university. I want to get a degree. I want to get married. I want to get a great job. I want to retire at freedom 55, right? I was hoping for freedom 45. Now I guess I'm on to 55. I don't know what's going to happen then. But we think about things here on earth. We forget that what we do here in this little itty-bitty time right here has consequences in heaven. So our salvation, if we're believers in Christ, our salvation is secure. But do we ever think about what we're doing here, if it will hold up when God looks at our life? When he gets that fire, when he puts it through the test of the fire. I've read some commentaries on that, and they said it was like a person who escapes a burning building, right? That's how close it is that they get into heaven. Yes, they will be saved, but everything that they've done on earth was for naught. So that is something that I have never really thought about. I've never sat that much and thought about, okay, I know what we should be doing here, right? We want to have the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. The Bible tells us that we need to love one another. We need to love our enemies, okay? But it's not just that. And we're not doing it, in one sense, just to obey God. That is a great reason. But we're doing it to get a reward in heaven. And it's changed my thinking a bit in that I just don't want to get to heaven and have God look through my life and say, you know, Stephen, you are able to stay in heaven. You are a child of mine. And the thing is, I'll still have the best joy ever. There won't be any sorrows. But yet, I won't get any rewards. I won't get any crowns. The Bible talks about crowns, and that there are five crowns that you will receive in heaven. There's the crown of righteousness. Okay, 2 Timothy chapter 4, 7 and 8. "We have fought the good fight. I finished the race. I kept the faith that God had laid before me. Finally, there is laid up for me in heaven a crown of righteousness, which the Lord will judge and will give me on that day. Not to me only, but all those who loved his appearance." There's a crown of life. The Bible talks about a crown of life. And those are the ones that gave their life for Christ, or those that were persecuted for Christ. So if you're here today and you are being persecuted for your faith, keep going. Keep trying to live the life that you can in Christ, because when you get to heaven, you will get a crown of life. There's the crown of rejoicing. The crown of rejoicing is one of the most famous ones, and that talks about those that cause the angels in heaven to rejoice because of your work here on earth that people became a Christian. And won't it be great when you get to heaven on that day and God presents your life And you see all of those that you were witnessing to, those that you led to the Lord, either you knew that were Christians right away, or those that you maybe had a part in, and later on they became a Christian. We don't know, right? We're just supposed to plant the seed, that it'll be a great thing in heaven. God's going to say, look at this. Look at all the people when you served me, when you witnessed for me, that came to know the Lord. And that's the crown of rejoicing. There's the crown of glory. It's those that will continue to serve the Lord. They're like the shepherds that serve the flock, that serve the needs within the church. So we have these crowns that God is willing to give us. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to just get into heaven and to not get a crown. My wife says I just missed a crown. Did I not give them all? Oh, the incorruptible crown. There you go. The things that we've done here on earth that matter in heaven, that would be the incorruptible crown. So when we make our choices every day, hopefully we'll start to think a bit more about how our attitudes are. Because here's the thing, we will get to heaven and God will be like, Steve, you know what's been amazing? You served Bridal Town for so long. You taught Sunday school. That was amazing. But look, your attitude was terrible. You really didn't want to do it. Or, you know, it could be any of us. You know, I put you into this job and all you did on earth is complain about the job. You complained about the commute. You hated the fact that it took an hour and a half to get to work. But you know, I put you there for a specific reason. And yet, look at all your work that you did here on earth. You know, there's no crown. God calls us to be an ambassador. The Bible says that we are ambassadors for Christ. And we all know what an ambassador is, right? You have an ambassador for Canada, ambassador for all the different countries. The hard part about an ambassador is they talk representing their country, right? They don't talk and represent themselves. And that is a difficult thing, right? Because when you ever see interviews of ambassadors that have been retired for years, they would say, oh, you know, I wrote a book and I'm exposing everything now and I really hated this policy, I hated that policy. Yet they had to say what the government wanted them to say. Well, we are ambassadors for Christ. So that means that we have to say what Christ wants us to say, not what we want to say. We have to do what Christ wants us to do, not what we want to do. Now, God's given every single one of us a gift. Every one of us has abilities, different abilities. Within the church, the Bible talks about that we are all one body. We have an eye, a hand, a foot, and not one is better than the other. So we have gifts that God has given us. And He wants us to use those gifts. So there's nothing wrong with us wanting to progress in our work. There's nothing wrong with us wanting to get a degree, a second degree, education. There's nothing wrong with us even going on holidays. But when we're doing these things, we are His mouthpiece. We are His ambassadors. So if you take the subway every day to work, or the GO train, we have people at work that take the GO train. And every day you sit with the same people. And it struck one of the Christian ladies at work. I remember she'd mentioned that about 3 or 4 months ago, that one of the people that she was with had a heart attack and died. And God really spoke to her then and said, and made her realize, you know, you were with this woman every day, almost every day going home for an hour. I brought up opportunities for you to talk about Christ. Now, they don't know whether she was a Christian or not, the one that passed away. But I think that needs to be our thinking. We need to continuously have a focus on heaven, a focus on our rewards. We want to get rewards. We're not doing it to get the reward, right? There's no jealousy in heaven. It's not going to be like, oh, why did this person get the crown of life? I didn't get any crown. That's not fair. Why is that? I know the way they lived, right? You think you do. So it's not that we're wanting it to show off, but it's more of the gratitude that God is going to give us in heaven. The gratitude saying, well done, here is your crown for this. Well done, here is your crown for that. I think I would want that. I want to hear that from God. So it begs the question then, how are we going to live differently? What are we going to do? I think we really need to focus more on the future. We really need to focus on what I do today. When I go to work tomorrow, who I meet tomorrow, coworkers, when I go to school tomorrow. You know, there's no age exemption. We are all ambassadors for Christ. We are all set to be an example. Whether you're 15 or whether you're 88, right? There is no place in the Bible where it says, okay, once you reach this point, you don't need to serve God anymore. You're good. Just take your time and relax. And you're going to do things that God is going to make you do things probably that are going to take you out of your comfort zone. That you're really going to say, oh, I don't know if I want to do that. I look at my dad as an example of that, of leading by example and going where God wants you to go. He gives a story. I mean, my dad was a missionary for, I don't know, what, 40-some-odd years. But when he tells his stories about himself as a teenager to young adults, he was the shyest guy. If he saw people walking on the right side of the street and he really didn't feel like, he would go to the other side of the street just so that he wouldn't talk to them. He was so shy. And yet God sent him to be a church planter overseas. Went to the country, didn't know any French almost, had to learn it, made tons of mistakes. But he, when he felt God asked him to go somewhere and to do something, he obeyed and did it. And I think about all the crowns in heaven that he would get. He came home and then had to go and run a bookstore. He never run a bookstore before. He was a preacher. He's not a guy to run a bookstore. But he really felt God calling him to do that. And I think we lose focus of things like that. I'm getting old now, right? I'm 46. I think we get into our compartments in life and we say, okay, you know, teens to 20s, yeah, those are the ones that God's going to get a hold of and God's going to change their life and they're going to become a missionary or they're going to go and work for some organization overseas and that's great, but then they're going to, you know, they're going to come back, they're going to go to university, they're going to get their job and then you're going to get into your 40s to 50s, right? And then, boom, you're not that you're stuck, but there you are. You know, God's not going to make me change what I'm doing. Well, I think that's wrong. I think we need to continuously be willing to let God touch our hearts, right? If go through the Bible, there is, you know, Moses was a shepherd, and then God, after 40 years of being a shepherd, came and told him, you know what, you're going to do this. The disciples were fishermen. I mean, that was their trade. That was their family trade, right? Imagine going home, hey guys, I'm out. I'm going to follow this Jesus guy. I got no salary. I don't know how I'm going to live, but I really, he just touched my heart and I'm going. The family be like, you know, you're a fisherman. What are you doing? No, this is what you're supposed to do. You've got to do it. And I think because we look at our temporary life and we don't allow God, we don't take a chance on God, we don't have the faith, that we hamper our crowns in future glory. So we always need to be willing to let God use us in whatever we do. I can't mention any names, but I read a story of a guy that struck me, and it was last week, where he was an engineer, and all his family were engineers. And it was funny. His grandfather, his father, him, his brother, his sister was going through to be an engineer. I bet you they have discussions at supper time. Who can build the best bridge, right? I bet you mine's better than yours. Oh, really? You know, so, but he was an engineer, went through school, and 15 years into his career, God started to change him. He went on a missions trip and started to change him. and he saw the plight of what was going on in Papua New Guinea and some of these other countries. So after about 2 years of praying, he finally came in to his wife and his kids and said, listen, I think we need to go. What do you mean we need to go? What are we going to be doing? Well, right now I'm just going to be helping people do some farming. When you read the story, it didn't go well, right? The family was like, you are going to do what? You know how much money we spent on you with this engineering degree, and you are going to do what? You're going to help them farm? You don't know anything about farming. Listen, I really feel God wants me to go there. So he ended up going, and 8 years he was there, and all of a sudden the government there started to notice him in this country. I can't mention the country, but they came to him and said, you know, why don't you come? We really like the work that you're doing. We really like how you're helping the people out. And he said, you know, do you have a degree in anything? Like, what were you doing before you came here? And he says, oh, well, I was an engineer. Oh, well, what kind? I was a structural engineer. Do you build bridges? Yeah, I've done bridges and stuff like that. We need people to build bridges here. And so now he's building bridges. He's using the gifts that God had given him, right? The abilities that he had, but it was in God's time. But for that 7 to 8 years, he had to go in faith and believe that, I don't know what God's making me go here for. Right? That's the kind of faith I think that I would want to have. I want to have a faith that I never want to be satisfied or content where I am. I want to run the race. Right? We're all in a race. You know, these crowns that they talk about, the example in the Bibles is referred to like the Olympics, right? So we are all on Canada's Olympic team. Some of us are runners, some of us are rowers, some of us are shot put, some of us... towel boy, there you go. Hot dog eater, if there's a thing like that. But we're all on the Canadian Olympic team. The difference is, how are we going to train now that we've on the team, right? We need to train. We need to train as hard as we can so that when we get to that one Olympic day, which would be reference to the glory, and we compete, that we're going to get the crown and say, well done. Here is your crown of life. Here is your crown of righteousness. Here is your crown of glory. You did great. Wouldn't you rather have that than saying, you know, you really, your outward attitude seemed great, but inwardly, you weren't that great. So that's just where I'm at right now with my walk. And I just wanted to share that a bit. The board is going through this Bible study about having a deeper life. And just recently we've read a chapter on having a life, a mission statement for your life of what you want to do. Because if we don't know what the final mark is, if we don't have somewhere, someplace that we want to say, okay, I want to do this, then we're never going to get there, right? You can have a GPS, but unless you put in the coordinates, it was in the chapter, you're never going to get anywhere, right? You have to give the coordinates, and hopefully, and it'll be right. With God, it will be right. But we need to, and I never thought of it before, that we need to have our own kind of statement of what are we going to do for God? What is it? Like, we want to glorify God. That's great. We can all say that. But we need it. We need to let it penetrate to our hearts. We need to dig into the Word of God. Hold fast is in the Bible about 40 times. The term hold fast on something. It says hold fast onto the Word of God. I mean, that's the term is holding on for dear life. Like you're going on one of those roller coasters when you're going upside down and you're just holding on for dear life. We need to hold on to God's Word for dear life. We need to study it. We need to know what's in it. Because we're going to give an account. God's going to say, listen, there's no excuse to you. I gave you my word. I gave this to you so you would know what to do. and how to live. So our challenge to you is think, don't just think about this temporal earthly thing. Think about heaven. Think about how little time we have on earth to make things right for heaven. And to use God's word, use prayer. Yes, be involved. Do things for Christ. Be a witness for Christ. We are his ambassadors. But whatever we do, we need to do it for the glory of Christ. Do it without complaining. Do it without bickering. Do it without wanting glory here on earth. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for this opportunity this morning of worshiping you. And Lord, we thank you for your Son. We thank you for the gift of eternal life. And Lord, I pray that we would focus on you more, focus on heaven, so that when we get there, we can hear that we have done well and that we will receive the crowns. Lord, I know for me, I don't want to get to heaven and just barely make it in only through my commitment and to you and through your accepting of the Son into my heart, Lord. I want to be able to do the best that I can. Help us all to run the race properly, to focus on you, to hold fast your word, Lord, and let it penetrate our hearts so that we can glorify you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll forego the next song. For now, we're just going to have a time of preparation for the communion. So it's funny, the biggest example that we